Hey everybody, welcome to Surface Level, curious conversations about the Black and queer experience. I'm one of your hosts, Damon, and today, Tony, Jordan, and I are bringing you part two of our bonus miniseries. Following season 7's focus on Earth, Wind, and Fire, these bonus episodes dive into the theme of water. Part one explored the fluidity of our sex lives, and today we'll delve into fluidity within our relationships. Is our preference of open relationships based on personal choice or societal influence? How have we navigated non-monogamy in our own relationships? This is Make Me Water, Part 2.
All right, and we're back. Last week was
A doozy.
Was a doozy.
Yeah, it was. You know,
it was eye-opening.
Last week left me lubricated. This week I'm expecting to leave drenched.
Because
if we're going to get wet,
dive into the pool.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to go all right,
well,
deep
let's just
in the bottom.
All right now. Well, maybe we'll get a little help again from a little friend of ours. We're excited to welcome back Jihad J.C. Carter, host of a viral sensation, The Hopeless Romantic Society.
Thank you for having me back.
This is
so much fun. Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
You are sensational. The word on the street, the girls can't get enough of last week, honey. They are in the comments going off.
You better clock it.
All right. So we always like to start with a little game. And I like to always fuck with the girls and do a little trivia because...
Trivia.
The girls don't know anything.
I'm actually not as smart as I look, even with these on.
It's less trivia, but some trivia a little more like just defining some words that we're going to use throughout the day or throughout the episode. So starting here, So monogamy, we're going to talk about a religion. Around 1,000 years ago, what religion shifted from condoning polygamy into shifting into more monogamy? Christianity, Judaism, Islam, or Buddhism?
Ooh,
I want to say
Christianity.
Okay. Maybe Judaism? I don't know why I want to say Buddhism for some reason. They do.
Oh, we just all very diverse. It's Judaism. And I also know you girls have never read the Bible. Because there are lots of...
Wait, which one?
Right.
You're right about that.
The Bible. There are lots of instances of polygamy in the Bible.
Right. With like Sarah, she was like 90
something.
Yeah,
people got a bunch of wives and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, no,
I wasn't
no.
expecting to know the religion question.
All right. So polygamy, the practice of having more than one spouse, is illegal in the Midwest and Southern states, the continental U.S., all U.S. states, or D.C. and the U.S. territories.
Where is it illegal?
Illegal.
I don't think you could do that in America.
There's like 46 states, right? Like, it's like the Midwest and the South.
50.
There are 50 states.
No, like 46 states that make it illegal. No?
Oh, okay. Like the actual number of states that have it illegal. Okay.
Because I know Utah, she down with the bullshit.
Like that Midwest region, they definitely.
The answer is all states.
Oh.
It's illegal, yes.
Okay.
Utah has a reputation because there are certain Mormon communities that still have some version of it, but it's not like. In the eyes of the United States government.
Yeah, you can't legally get married to multiple people.
Oh, so it's like a trick question.
Yeah, because like on Why Do Fools Fall in Love, the story about Frankie Lyman, remember?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He couldn't be married to Zola. And
Frankie. I forget the name.
Oh, Frankie. No, Frankie was Frankie Lyman. Vivica's character.
Vivica's character.
Okay,
that's good. That's a good one.
So next, the definition of polyamory. We've talked about it a lot. I'm going to give you four options.
Okay.
And you have to guess which one is right. They're all slightly different.
All right. Let me put
my listening ears on. Okay. So is polyamory the practice of engaging in romantic, not typically sexual relationships with multiple consenting partners? Or is it the practice of engaging in romantic and platonic, typically sexual relationships with the consent of all people involved? The practice of engaging in romantic and platonic and typically sexual relationships with the consent of only primary partners, or the practice of engaging in romantic and typically sexual relationships with the consent of all people involved.
This is what they'd be doing on the SAT.
I'm right. Girls. I think it's D.
I think it's D too.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Because the only reason that gave it away is the consent. With all
consenting partners.
Yeah. Oh,
I was going to say B until you got to D.
C is giving cheating.
See, I was actually, my alarms is going off with having the word romantic and platonic right, right next to each other. That cancels each other out, right?
Not technically.
Well, it's
you
like
can
does
be romantic
mean,
and platonic.
It's like you're
time?
Just kicking it, right?
No,
then that's platonic.
No, romantic and platonic partner, like different people. Like you can have a romantic
like
partner, or platonic
partner. Emotionally, you're talking about emotionally.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
I didn't hear right, but at least I still got the right answer.
All right, last one. So, according to Healthline.com, what percentage of the U.S. population practices polyamory? 1 to 3%, 4 to 5%, 10 to 12, or 18 to 20
of the U.S. population?
Correct.
And we said this is consensual.
Yes. Well,
polyamory consensual.
Is consensual.
So, okay, so we can't count the people who's non-consensual having situations going on in the background.
No.
I'm going to do the SAT thing and just go C.
Always go C. Oh, wait, Tony goes with 10 to 12.
I don't think it's that high, though.
I'm going to do really B. Know. That was 4 to 5, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not checking the U.S.'s panties. I don't really understand what country. Or...
Well, use your friend group as a focus group. How many friends do you have that are polyamorous?
Maybe like 1 to 3%.
Okay. 4 to 5.
Oh.
So who won?
One was.
I think you may have won for like the first time ever.
First of all, I've won many trivia over the season.
I don't know who's worse, you or Tony.
Tony.
Listen, I lean into being bad at trivia.
It's part of your shtick, like the card and the glasses.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So getting into our actual conversation while we're here, we're going to focus on relationships in different formats today and our feelings around all of those. So starting here, do you think there is a generational shift in attitudes towards non-monogamy within the Black gay community? If so, how has it evolved over time? Jordan, let's start with you.
I've definitely seen a shift. I think that let's just zero in a little bit on dating apps. I feel like when I first got to New York, there was a difference in the amount of couples that were on the dating apps that were looking for a third. Mm-hmm. And I feel like fast forward to, you know, present day or near present day, I feel like there's a lot more representation there. Like you can visibly see it. And also, you know, the comment section of Surface Level is very indicative that although there are a lot of people who have strong anti thoughts against open relationships, I still see like the people who are supportive of it, like showing up and speaking up in a way that I didn't necessarily see when I was just getting to New York.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was much more taboo, I feel like, when I was
younger.
Vocal
minority, the girls shouted that 45%. Mm-hmm. We loud. Jihad.
I don't really actually know. I don't actually have an answer for this. I mean, I feel like people fuck with it. I fuck with it too. I just know I'm not ready to do it yet because I'm not emotionally secured to do so just yet. So that's my answer. I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the younger folks, y'all are at the helm of the movement. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a little bit more second nature, I think, to you all.
Which is a natural progression of how things tend to go. It's like each generation that follows has it a little bit easier with in terms of being fully who they want to be and out loud with it. And so I absolutely know that there's been a generational shift in the attitudes around non-monogamy.
Right.
And I think that it was one of those things where people were doing it, but inside they were suffering in silence. Mm. Maybe not suffering. They were having a good time in private. But I feel like a lot of people are curious about it or are partaking in that type of relationship format, but just not being vocal about it. And now you see a lot of people more candidly talking about their experiences, and it's destigmatizing what that looks like, what non-monogamy looks like. So when people hear more folks talking about it, the folks who are interested and curious are more inclined to maybe dabble in it, maybe talk about it to someone because they, you know, may have had thoughts and not had anyone to actually speak to about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they kind of get to do that because they see folks, you know, just being more vocal about it. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually don't think it's more of a generational shift. What I think it's more tied to is just like the history of the country. Like, if you think about major events, so if we think about the 70s and the sexual revolution and everybody's mm-hmm. free, and like Gen Z didn't exist then. Like, I think we have to stop like prescribing every level of freedom to just like youth. Like, I think that during that time period, people were wanting to be free and explore different things and the hippie movement and so on. Then right after that, you move into the AIDS crisis, where at that point, sex, bathhouses, non-monogamy is all stigmatized.
Right.
You come out of the 80s and 90s, and then now we're moving towards like the gay marriage movement.
Right.
So now it's like, okay, we're not the dirty people you all thought we were due to the AIDS crisis. Now we're just like you. We want to get married, get a surrogate, have 2.5 kids, blah, blah, blah. And I think now, we were maybe 10, 12 years after that legalization, the girls started to get divorced. And the people are realizing like, oh, actually, maybe I don't just necessarily want the traditional relationship that was prescribed to me from my parents or my grandparents. And maybe I want something a little bit different. So I think that the mood necessarily isn't always purely tied to age, because I think there are conservative young people.
Right.
I think it's more so about like what's happening in broader society and how does that influence like how people think about relationship, how people think about what people are open to and what they are not open to. So that was something I was thinking a lot more about today versus just like purely saying like it's a generational shift.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that made me think of, I just listened to this song Love on the Destiny Child album, Destiny Fulfilled. And there was a lyric that Beyonce says, relationships she's dealt with in the past couldn't fathom being monogamous. And I was like, I think like when we in the queer space and in the straight space, it's folks are dealing with it on both sides. And it's just interesting to see the dynamics evolve and shift across the board, which I love it. Like I really get excited when people get the opportunity to outwardly be and talk about, be who they want to be, talk about the things that they are curious about. And I think it's very healthy.
Yeah, I think further, like talking about open relationships, like why do we think that they're often kind of stigmatized or looked down on, even with kind of evolving thoughts around them?
I feel like a few reasons. People have like ownership and like really possessiveness over human bodies and in general, when it comes from like places of like insecurities, abandonment. It could be like a slew of things of why people have some sort of stigma against, you know, polyamory and open relationships and whatnot. I just, like I said earlier, personally, me, I'm not in a place where I like am able to even feel comfortable with one person, let alone four or five, six, however many different people that I'm talking to.
Yeah. No, ownership is definitely a word that comes up often. Like when we have these conversations, whether it be at Amobi Talks in front of a live audience or in our comments, we see and hear the term ownership come up often. I think another reason is what Damon just mentioned of like, I think that sometimes the queer community can think that aligning themselves or moving closer to heteronormative standards will make them appear more pure, more morally
less of a deviant.
Yes. And so it's like, yes, I'm gay, but
I'm just like,
I'm married and I'm committed to one person and my family structure looks just like yours. So stop with all the hate. So I think that that sometimes play a role in certain people's decision. And then I also think that it's how we talk about non-monogamous relationships after they don't work out. I think that that's a huge thing to consider. There can be, you know, 100, you know, monogamous relationships that end for whatever reason. And people are just like, oh, okay, whatever. I guess it didn't work out. And if a publicly open relationship doesn't work out, the entire narrative around it is, well, it was because, you know, that open relationship, I'm sure, brought in all of that all those issues. And I think that as somebody who's maybe looking at that discourse play out online, if they're thinking about exploring with non-monogamy, they may now be less inclined to do so because they feel like the relationship would be underneath a microscope.
Right.
And so I think that those are two other factors that, you know, we could consider, I think.
And I also think there's so much of, Like, let's just take Western society. Like, think about America. America's steeped in Christianity. When Christianity, you get married to become one and all these things. And it's just like, we focus so much on the two people and how they have to build that life together. And so many of us grew up in churches or around churches, even if you didn't grow up in church, like with the image of the marriage, the 2.5 kids, and like that is the ideal. Mm-hmm. And I think that when that's consistently the ideal, anything that deviates from that becomes like the thing that makes people uncomfortable, becomes the thing that's easily attacked because you don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that is exactly what I was going to say, that it's stigmatized because people don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And they have no idea of how you can operationalize that type of format in a relationship. And people look at open relationships as you just wanting, or folks just wanting to have sex with whoever they want to have sex with. It goes to sex as like a default.
Right. And it's not even always purely about sex. It's just like, how do you engage with different people in a way that, like, your man not sitting over to my, why are you talking to him like that? Why are you, like, it's just, it's not purely just like we in the bedroom.
Yeah. And now when you say that, it makes me think of insecurities. People are insecure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They don't know how they can possibly exist in that type of format of a relationship because of their insecurity issues.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I mean, so the final question that I asked everybody on part one was, have you ever been in an open relationship? Mm-hmm. Jihad, you said no. Mm-hmm. Damon and Tony, you said yes. I think I was in one.
I don't really get that.
Well, we can talk about it.
I'm like,
it was open for it was open Jordan. For, it's like it was a one-sided, said, a one-way door.
He was cheating, and I'm the reason. Oh,
that's not true. We go talk about it.
Okay, what's T?
But no, but my question is, you know, like, do whatever relationship format you desire or aspire to, have you ever experienced any sort of backlash for expressing that desire? So if you ever express that you're interested in monogamy, do you feel like Jihad that, you know, you ever received any negative? Tony and Damon, if you talked about being open, what, you know, experiences have you had that have been negative?
Yeah. Because I'm that unfucking bothered with what anyone thinks about what I say I want to do, that you can never, backlash doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. You don't have the license.
To, back talk?
Yeah. Quiet, ain't no back talk. Like, I don't see a world where I care that much about what other people think to even allow the backlash of me saying, like, I want to explore a more open format and what that looks like. But also, for a long time, it wasn't until recently that I decided that I wanted to explore that. But at the same time, that was rooted in me thinking that I had to subscribe to a particular style of being in a relationship based on tradition and based on what I was taught or what I've seen. And growing and learning through these conversations, I was like, maybe I don't necessarily want a traditional format. Maybe I want to explore something that's more open. And when I've told people about this, they've just been on board with, like, that's cool. Like, I'm happy that I've gotten to a place where I know that's what I want to explore. And not necessarily making me feel bad for wanting that. And I think because the conversation just in the zeitgeist has taken a turn where people are more openly talking about it.
Right.
It's allowed other people to have more of an understanding of, like, not necessarily going to, you just want to fuck a bunch of people and be able to do that and, like, not have any consequences, because that's not it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how conservative I think a lot of queer men were until we started doing this show.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think that as a younger gay, and just like even the majority of the people that I surround myself with, the thing that I loved about our community was our ability to have non-traditional relationships. Because if you think about even a monogamous queer relationship, to the eyes of the universe or broader society, is non-traditional.
Right.
So I think that we're already a variation. So I was like, okay, this is cool. I'm seeing all these different variations, and I met someone who I'm still good friends with today that I dated when we were like, I was like 22, who I was able to like think about and experience like what that would mean and grow in a way that made me think a bit bigger. And I think until doing this show and talking about my feelings on relationships and seeing people online, like, well, he don't
love his partner and all these things. I'm like, you're an idiot. what are you fucking talking about? Like, people were even just would say, like, oh, well, he's never seen a healthy relationship at home. I'm like, my parents were together since high school, and were before my father passed away, they were together for 40 years. I think that we can all color an experience that is relevant to us and what we want. And it is not like I don't give a fuck about people love to say, like, oh, it couldn't be me. Bitch, I never asked for it to be you. It would never be you. It was never an option, and I don't want that, because you are not open to that type of experience. And it's fine, you don't have to be. But what I cannot fucking stand, and what I'm really, it becomes exhausting when we talk about these things, and I'm sure it'll be this way in the comments this week, but just like, everybody jumps on the, no, you need to be claimed, my man, my man, my man, and you need to do it this way. And if you don't do it that way, then somebody gonna take that man. That is always funny to me. I'm just like, if my person that I live with, my husband, whatever y'all want to call him, if he felt that moved by somebody, that he feels like he should leave, girl, bye.
And then he never was mine.
Exactly. I'm just like, then like you, but like, we have a level of reverence for like what we have built, and we know what that is. So, like, those types That's of beautiful. Ideas, like, for me, aren't even relevant. And if we got to that place, that would also be fine. Because you know what I don't want to do? Stay in some loveless relationship for 50 fucking years and just die unhappy.
No, man. Mm.
So, like, that to me becomes, like, with this dialogue where I feel like, are you just trying to give me, like, the textbook for what you think relationships should be? Mm-mm. And if I don't agree with that, then therefore, like, this is bad. Like, I don't... Fuck you.
Yeah.
You're like... What about you, Jahat?
Well, I feel like I fall a little bit in between the lines, because I've only been in like one real serious kind of relationship. I've had a lot of talking stages that have failed, sadly, for them, not for me. But however, I do feel like I'm a little bit on a listening tour with my show and what I've been doing. And I've talked to a lot of polyamorous couples and relationships, and like really understanding, to answer your question earlier, to go back to what you were saying earlier about how people are like, oh, well, they're broke up and it's because it's wrong. It's not a great thing. And what I've seen is, at least it's really about communication. A lot of polyamorous relationships, when they end, from what I've seen, it's like there are clear bounds that have been communicated between both partners, and they have not been abide by. In the same way, when it comes to people who aren't into polyamory, maybe you shouldn't be fucking with someone who's into open relationships. Maybe that's when you need to communicate with yourself and communicate with your partner, like, okay, maybe we're not meant for each other. Maybe we're not at the right stage. We're like, okay, if you want to do this, I don't necessarily want to do this. Maybe we shouldn't explore this. Maybe we should go down that. So I'm a little bit more seeing the line, like seeing out at it from like an outside kind of lens, because I've never really been in like a situation where like my boyfriend's like, okay, we're going to be open. And I'm like, no, the fuck we're not. We're like opposite from that. You know what I'm saying?
I have a question. And this is something I've thought about a lot. Like, why is it in relationships do people feel like we both have to do the same thing? Like, I think there's this, like, for me, I think there's this level of ownership of the other person. If I decide, you know, I only want to sleep with you, or I only want to have a relationship with you, let me do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you, and like, as long as the quality of time that we're spending together, when we are together,
right,
is of value, you feel seen, you feel loved. Why do I care if what is happening when you are not with me?
Yeah, well, it just goes like, back to security. Yeah. Like, maybe you're secure with that. Some other people
might not be.
Aren't secure with that. And that's just going back to communication. Some people aren't there.
But you have to also find a partner that's committed to the concept of learning.
Yeah.
I think that some people have made it up in their mind that this is what their decision is going to be, and this is how they're going to move forward with it. I think that some people think about their sex lives very like, this is what it is and this is what I'm going to do, as opposed to let me just move with what I feel. I think that, similar to you, Jahat, I kind of like straddle both sides. I mean, when it comes to like the monogamy part, I think the extent of the backlash that I get is probably Damon calling me boring on the show.
I'm bored.
But like,
we,
you know,
I'm saying we took a test and you came out as vanilla.
You did. So vanilla. Okay, what's wrong? These vanilla. The... French vanilla is really good.
It wasn't French vanilla.
Okay. It wasn't. It was American vanilla.
Well, you know, but so that's the extent of that. You know, like I don't, it's very rare, and I can't even remember any explicit situations where maybe I was getting to know a romantic partner or like gauging whether or not I wanted to move into something more serious with someone who I was dating. And I talked about monogamy that they were just like, oh my goodness. Like I don't remember ever experiencing that. On the flip side, I have had conversations about open relationships with several, you know, boyfriends and people who I was just casually dating to see whether or not this was a viable thing. And I think that it runs the gamut. I think that it really depends on the person mm-hmm. and their commitment to understanding you as a person. Yeah. I think that, you know, some of the things that I've heard in the past, negative things that I've heard in the past, is that I think that some people associate more partners with STDs and a lack of attention to sex health, which is completely untrue. And it's kind of just like, okay, well, do you want to just have a conversation right now about what the rules are about our sex health practices? Because like we could talk about that. You know what I mean? And so that's a conversation that's come up. And then there's been other situations where I've brought up open relationship and somebody just shuts it down and can't articulate a reason why. We're just like, why? And they're just like, no. And I'm just like, okay, so maybe you haven't sat with the idea long enough to even inform an opinion outside of what you've been told to you know, talk about or to choose. But Jihad, you said something really interesting about communication. So you talk to a lot of people on the street, monogamous and non-monogamous, about their relationships, and you talk about, you know, communication in a relationship. I'm just curious for those of us who have been in an open relationship and those of us who have attempted to be in one, how do you approach being able to establish honesty and trust to set that relationship up for success?
Yeah, I feel like what Damon said earlier was a very revolutionary thought process that a lot of people don't have, which is being able to exist and have a union, and what I do, you ain't gotta do, and what you do, I ain't gotta do, and having that conversation. So when it comes to building the trust, it's about talking about the things.
Right.
Yeah.
Always. And continuing the conversation. It's not an open and shut case.
Right.
I've had that conversation where I've said, this is what I want to explore. This is what I am interested in figuring out. And the other person being like, well, I don't know that I want to partake in those things. And I was like, no. I was like, I'm talking about me.
Right.
What I want to do. I'm telling you this so that you can make an informed decision on whether or not you want to jump ship, because that's fine too.
Right.
But what I'm not going to do is it's compromise. So continuous conversation, like it's funny because at Damon's wedding dinner,
dinner.
There we go.
At Damon's rehearsal dinner, Jordan and I were sitting across from a marriage, a cisgendered heterosexual marriage couple that were married for like 40 years.
20.
20.
Or they just celebrated 20.
I doubled it. 20 years. And I asked them, what's their key to success? You know, like that question, like the standard.
Oh, wow.
And they said talking to each other, that communication. It sounds taboo, but they always talk about the things. They set dedicated nights for each other where they like have like what they called Fat Fridays, where they just order like takeout and watch a movie. And like,
I love that.
That's our time together.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, we know when something's not right, when things go left when we've not been talking, and not in a sense of like we like talking on a day to day. It's like we're not having conversation about like, if something's bothering one of us, we need to speak about it and get to the bottom of it. And I think it's not groundbreaking, but it is, because a lot of people don't do it.
Yeah. I like That's the thing.
Right.
Like, I think that before we can even get to the point of having, you know, an honest and open conversation about the relationship format and how you all decide to have sex, I think that it's important to just have that communication
right.
foundation in a relationship in general, because there's research all over that shows that people just don't like talking about sex,
right.
even with the people that they're having sex with.
Oh, really?
Yes. Everyone, not everyone. A lot of people avoid sex conversations. It makes them uncomfortable. And so if you are in a position or in a relationship where you don't even feel comfortable expressing emotions like regret or anger or sadness or disappointment to your partner and have those uncomfortable conversations, how the hell are you going to have a open, transparent conversation around how you want the relationship to be, especially when it's a relationship format that receives so much negative backlash from the outside world? Right. You got to be strong, iron strong on the right. inside. And I think that what people could do is have more than one conversation. I think that that was the issue that I have. And that's why I'll go in a little bit more in depth about like why I said I thought I was in an open relationship. I was in a situation where we both agreed on the open relationship and we had one conversation about it. And then...
And Jordan, you took that and ran with it, girl. You said, all right.
And, hey. And the answer was yes. And so I was just like, okay. And what I think the learning from that is that, you know, that wasn't enough for our unique situation. Mm-hmm. It could be a one and done, depending on the situation, the people that you're in there with. But for our situation, I felt like it needed to be that conversation. Let's go away. Let's think about it. Let's come back with like a thoughtful mm-hmm. point of view on what's happening. Let's talk about it again. Let's go back. Let's come back and let's talk about the sexual things that we like. Because sometimes right. we don't even want to talk about the sexual interest that we have with the people that we're exclusively having sex with.
Right.
Like, and so you have to be comfortable to have those conversations. And I feel like for a lot of people, that confidence comes from having multiple successful conversations. And so, yeah, I think that communication needs to just be like a pillar of the relationship mm-hmm. before you can talk about something that's so sensitive
yeah. right.
like that.
You know, I interesting thinking about this question. Like, I was just like, I don't like the question. And I don't like the question because I think that it prescribes that there has to be some special level of trust if the relationship is polyamorous or open and so yeah. on. Whereas establishing trust is valuable in any relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it comes down to being thoughtful and thoughtful about who you are. And I think, and ironically, I think in a poly relationship or in an open relationship, I've had more space to just like straight up be who I was, period. Mm-hmm. Versus in past situations where I've like tried the monogamy thing and where like you come into it like, okay, what parts of myself do I need to leave over here yeah. so that I can prove that just my man. Mm-hmm. And like, and I think that you, like if you were a gutter snipe last week and you like me this week, you gonna still be a gutter snipe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Yeah. Even, and if you are a person that likes really purely connected sex with just like one person at a time right. in your life, if that's who you were last week, that's who you're gonna be this week. Mm-hmm. And meeting me will have no impetus or no like shaping of who you are. Mm. You're still going to be you. And I think that it's important that like when you enter any relationship to still hold true to you.
Yeah.
Because then that's where like for me at least, conversations around trust and what I like and what my boundaries are and are not. That's when you can have real conversations versus the ones where like I'm hiding parts of myself to right. impress you or something.
Right. Yeah. I mean, fuck with that.
When it comes to trust, it's also rooted for me in respect. Mm. And not just respecting the other person, but respect for yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And am I being honest about what it is that I want
right.
and don't want? Mm-hmm. Have I said the things?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because if I haven't said the things...
Then you're just expecting them to know.
Hello. And guess where that leads you?
To hell.
With gasoline draws.
No, but I really do hear what you're saying. I really fuck what you're saying because I feel like, for me, the trust part, the special sense of trust, I think where it comes with me, it's like, I want to trust that you're not going to leave period. You know, I feel like as a Black queer person who also has like family issues outside of just being queer, but just being dysfunctional, non-communicative, very pushing people away. Like, I don't have a tight, close-knit family surrounding me where I feel like I'm not sure if people are going to leave me. So it's a little uncomfortable when thinking about if I were in a successful relationship and we were thinking about opening it, I could see that being a trigger for me specifically. And that special level of trust, it's like, I totally understand where you're coming from because I want to feel like you're not going to leave. You're not going to run. You're going to be here. You can go out there and still come back. And that's a little bit like misguided, or it's a little blocked off or blind from even seeing that. So like just waking that up, I'm like digesting that a little bit.
Like, and I think, like, I think we can't enter relationships from the space of like, will they leave or will they end? Like, the relationship is about watering this moment.
Right.
Because that's the only thing you can control. Like, you bring as much baggage from living,
right,
like we all do, into any interaction, romantic, familial, platonic. And I think that we can't control the future.
Mm.
But the thing we can control is, like, in this moment, and, like, when we talk about trust, for me, trust, if I were to say what trust is in my relationship, trust is how much of yourself are you showing me and how much of myself am I showing you?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's less about like, you've proven to me that like you will not leave, or you've proven to me that you love me. It's
you did your 3 years of being,
You've laid yourself bare in a way that I know you deeply, intimately.
Right.
And you've exposed things that show that you trust me.
Right.
And I exposed things that show that I trust you, and like that you will handle those soft parts of me and I will handle those soft parts of you. And that to me is like the thing that, like, if you were to ask me how I think about trust today versus in previous relationships, it's about trusting that like I'll handle those soft parts of you and vice versa.
Yeah. And I can't say that I've shown up in every situation, or I'm in kind of like in a relationship right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that I'm bringing 100% myself just yet. Like, I am still very guarded.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. I think I'm constantly thinking about like, I have to be ready to pick up my things and go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And that's okay to feel, as long as you know that it's happening and you're aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's perfectly fine.
Right.
But Damon, you mentioned earlier, very lightly, you said poly or open.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about polyamorous and polyamory, I'm wondering, has anyone in this room ever been curious about trying that out, seeing that for yourself? Why or why not? I can start.
Wait. What you mean?
Polyamory.
Have you ever
been in a polyamorous relationship?
Oh.
And for me, I'm very fascinated by polyamory and I'm very curious about it. I don't think it's something that I want to do, but maybe down the line, who knows? We're exploring ourselves, right? But I was exposed to it last year in a conversation I had with folks who are in polyamorous relationships. And I discovered that there's so many levels to it. Like the idea of having multiple relationships, whether it's romantic or intimate, or if you're sexual, whatever the case may be, I just was like, wow, this can exist all under one roof. You get to design the specific type of relationships you want to have.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was so beautiful that people are living their lives to the fullest of their extent without feeling like they can't have it all.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that polyamory means you wanting everything and like all these people, but just specifically like what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it just opened my mind to staying curious, as we do on this show, and wanting to find out more information on that lifestyle and, you know, potentially figuring out like, what does that look like? You know, maybe could I be in a relationship with romantically with a person over here while sexually with a person over here, or having both with like whatever that looks like? I don't know, but it definitely was mind blowing for me and something that I want to explore further just to get information and hear other experiences.
Yeah, like I absolutely think I could. I, like, in certain ways, I might define my relationship as polyamorous. Mm-hmm. In just, like, not in the sense that, like, I got an extra boyfriend, but, like, in the sense that I have the freedom to experience people. And my relationship is not about, like, there's, like, that vow that's just, like, and to forsake all others. I'm like, for what? Like, I we didn't have that. Like, if, like, Tony, like, emceed our wedding ceremony. And, like, conceptually, it was about the freedom to explore and have, like, a partner as you go along and explore life. But who knows who you'll meet along that journey. What I will say is that in all of my... Ooh, I'm spitting. in all of my openness to different experiences, having, like, a full extra partner... It's enough going on with me and the one I got, y'all. I don't have the bandwidth. Right. Like, that's the thing where I'm just like, I don't have the time. And, like, I don't want to mistreat you. So, and, like, even if when I engage with people, like, I can say, like, we can be friends. This can be friendly and sexual. But, like, I'm not. That's what we don't need to go on a date, y'all.
That's what's interesting about it. Because I think when we were talking about polyamory, we were like, well, friendships, like, having multiple friends is kind of similar. It's not sexual, but... In a polyamorous situation, it's multiple relationships on different levels. It's very, like I'm saying, it's like, it sounds very complex, but because I don't know a lot about it, but for the folks in it, it's like, it's probably quite simple for them.
So I don't think any relationship will be that simple, though. Mm-hmm. Like, even a monogamous one. No, relationships are not
people
simple.
People aren't simple.
People aren't simple. Yeah. So that's what I think, like...
I think that for me, I would like to have a successful open relationship first and see that. I think that for me, polyamory, to be quite frank, I'm still unclear on the delineation between an open relationship and a polyamorous relationship. Mm-hmm. My understanding, what I think from what I read, several definitions, is that open relationship, there's a primary partner. Mm-hmm. And then the other relationships are more ancillary or maybe like supporting relationships. Mm-hmm. And then polyamorous, perhaps the relationships are a bit more on equal footing.
Communal.
In terms of how, like, the priority level that they take in your life. That's what I thought I read. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to answer it through that lens. I think that for me, I would want to... navigate a successful open relationship. Like, what does that look like? I'm sure there's so many things that I haven't experienced that I want to understand. Like, how do you, you know, what are the boundaries? What is that conversation after, you know, the open relationship starts? The first time obviously didn't happen in a successful way, mm-hmm. and it didn't end well. And so for me, I'm still waiting to have that successful moment where I'm like, oh, like, it wasn't bad. That wasn't hard. That wasn't the end of something. Mm-hmm. And so I think that my guess, like with anything, is that if that plays out well for me, then I can sort of free up the space to think about what polyamory might look like for me. But from the outside looking in, I think I have a similar concern as Damon. It's just kind of like creating the space to, you know, have the emotional support for multiple people, being available for multiple people. I've casually dated two people at once, and I was sick with the amount of, like, scheduling and things that were going on. And so right now, I think I'm in a place where I would prefer primary partner and, you know, maybe some additional activity, but...
Yeah.
You know, never say never. You know, I would have said no to an open relationship if you asked me about it when I was your age. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I definitely got to do a successful relationship first, and then we can get there. but I mean, I can fuck with it. I'm definitely not closed off to it because I can see myself being very busy in work. I often retreat into myself to work, and I also can see how neglectful that can be and how I can also sometimes come off as with my partners. And so, like, one of my main relationships currently, and I feel like for a long time, probably till I die, is like my craft, my art, whatever the fuck it is, like, mm-hmm. whatever. And I could totally see them having you know, a little bit of a safeguard or an extra person or another person to really give them what I can't give them if I'm too focused on, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But also, like, in the sexual terms, I don't know, because I can be sexual now. I'm a lot more sexual than I used to be. But I can get a little...
kissing the boys.
I've calmed down. I've calmed down. But, I'm definitely open to, like, having multiple sexual partners, but I'm really a lot more interested in the emotions,
mm-hmm.
and like creating those emotional relationships. That's a lot more of interest to me than like the sexual part of it. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Okay. Well, to round this out with a bit of homework or advice for the people that might be considering exploring non-monogamous relationships for the first time, what advice or words would you have to offer up to make that experience more positive and fulfilling for folks who are considering it?
I would say that non-monogamy is not a solution for a broken relationship. Mm. I hear a lot of stories and read a lot of stories online about people who open up things in the hopes that it will bring them closer to their partner after there was distance created in the relationship. I don't believe that that's a recipe for success. I think that, you know... Do it when you're happy. Do it when you're in a good place. Do it when you can have an open and honest conversation. And as with many things, if you're making, you know, any decisions on how your relationship shows up, you know, think about doing that when things are going well. I think that sometimes people don't realize or don't understand when they're not compatible or when they're incompatible with somebody. And I think that some people are afraid to let go of relationships. Fear of starting over or whatever. And then they think that, you know, opening things up will somehow sort of make things less painful for them. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. So do it when you're in a good place. And yeah.
I would just say, what I've seen on the streets, just do the internal work. Go into it like ready to, you know, be vulnerable. Be okay with not being like the main priority, I guess you could say. Like, be open and feel secure enough that this person loves you, that they're not going to leave you if you are interested in doing something like that. That's mm-hmm. what I would say.
Yeah.
You know, I hate giving relationship advice because I'm always just like, I don't know what I don't know. And I think we're all just like figuring out relation a day at a time.
100%. We know a lot, but we don't know it all.
But, a couple things I will say that I feel like I've know. We don't own people. Mm. And I think that when you come into relationships and there's this sense of ownership, like that to me is like, I hear people say like money's the root of all evil. Like, to me, the sense of ownership in relationship is the thing that grows into something very negative. When you feel like they're not a whole autonomous being before they met you, they came with their whole being. And like, you just need to live beside it, not trying to own it and control it. And then further, I would say like one of the things my husband, whatever,
strange.
But he'll
often, the girl's getting choked up. He done graduated.
Strange. My roommate husband. But he always says, he's just like, I would not. He's like, I'm not obsessed with like what you're doing when I'm not there. Period. Like, you're just out living and like I'm at home or at wherever minding his business, living his life, and like that's how we interact. And it was interesting when I was in Stockholm for work, and again talking to, you always meet people that have been married for like 30 years, are like, how do you do this? And what he said, this guy that I worked with, he said, have a life outside of your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like that sense of autonomy, that sense of not obsessing over like, I gotta just be with this person and to become one, like that, like, it doesn't have to be that. And to me, there's beauty in that. Like, I'm here in this space right now, we're talking, and there's not a person like at home with bated breath like, where you been? Or like obsessing over like, how long have I been, and make sure you come right back home. And
when
like,
when I text you respond.
And nobody's doing that in my life, and there will never be anyone doing that in my life. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I have to value for myself, and it's something that I found a partner who also values that. And I think that when you have something that's maybe non-traditional, it's of service.
Yeah, Jihad said exactly where my head was in terms of making sure that you've you're working on yourself before trying to explore things that will complicate, you know, whatever you're trying to do even further in terms of relationships. And like Damon said, you know, I think you mentioned like people are showing up as their whole selves. Like some people are showing up as a shell
25%
of themselves. Mm-hmm. And you have to make sure that you're mentally
right,
ready for something like that. It's not a cakewalk and it's not a trend. It's not fetch. So don't try to make fetch happen because you'll end up with egg on your face.
But that's like, that's the thing though. Like I wish that, and I'm late to the game too. You know, like I showed up to relationships giving Miss Congeniality for a very long time. And I think that what I would want people to know in terms of like showing up and being yourself is that it's really fucking great here. You'll find that those uncomfortable conversations will most likely always end in a positive thing. Like even think about like the times when we have like disagreements, right? Like sometimes I may not want to bring it up to you because I'm like, I don't want to be viewed like this. And I don't want them to think that like I care about this. And every time we talk about it, I'm like, oh my goodness, I feel so much closer to them. Mm-hmm. And if people can understand that that's the end goal that you're like reaching for, is like a closer understanding of somebody, like it just gets better and better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And that is where we're going to leave the people. Like, this was a lovely two-part water series. I am drenched, honey. Ooh, so wet and sticky.
Oh. What type of water is that?
Well,
that water is dirty.
Oh, I know.
That water ain't dirty.
The water's clear. The water's clear.
Okay, the water's clear.
Jihad, we really want to thank you for pulling on up to the surface level table because this is like one of the best conversations I've had. Like, I really enjoyed you as a guest.
Thank you. This is lovely.
This is quite.
Did I wake it up a little
fantastic.
Bit?
Fantastic. You woke it up. I could have definitely did more, but you did what you did.
Maybe listen. Maybe when the cameras aren't here.
You did what needed to be done. And so, can you please let the people know if they are interested in you, what you got going on, what's going on next with you? Like, let people know where they can find out more.
Yes, please follow me everywhere. Hopeless Romantic Society, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and then next, taking over the world. So yeah.
Cool. Well, on that note, that is all the time we have this week. If you've enjoyed these bonus episodes, let's keep the conversation going. Damon, Jordan, and I are working steadfastly on season 8. So around the corner, so get ready, bitch, because we're coming. But in the meantime, let us know your thoughts and questions at surfacelevelpodcast.com. And remember, stay curious.